It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning on this day, Wednesday, April 2nd. This is your Clapper Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. It's your man, James Jackson. Appreciate you starting your day with me. It's your hump day, Wednesday, and your Clapper Hands Morning Sixers Update. We're T-minus, what, five now? To the end of the regular season for the Philadelphia 76ers, T-minus six. To the end of the regular season for the 76ers, six games left, and it comes back to the Wells Fargo Center tomorrow night. But we focus on the game that they just lost last night. They dropped one to the New York Knicks in the Garden, 105-91, furthering their kind of lead and cementing their space amongst the bottom of the league in the draft lottery. So the agenda is agenda-ing. We are doing what we're supposed to be doing in the fashion we're supposed to be doing it in, according to a lot of Sixers fans who want to see a draft pick at the end of whatever season this is. So we're on the way to that, but appreciate you starting your Hump Day Wednesday with me. Your man, James Jackson. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast on Twitter. Like I said, Sixers go up to the Garden last night and lose to the New York Knicks. No Jalen Brunson, no Karl Anthony Towns. So some people on the Knicks did have to step up. They did that. I will break that down in just a minute. But you know how we do with the daily pods. I'll go through the schedule, talk about some scores, teams around the league we should pay attention to as Sixers fans. I'll go through an injury update, some news, and then on the other side of the break, I take the three takeaways from last night's loss to the New York Knicks. Not a terrible, terrible one to watch, but obviously the Sixers failed to put up 100 points in the Garden and lose at the hand of OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, and company. But they spin back around and come back home to the Wells Fargo Center tomorrow night against the Milwaukee Bucks. That's the schedule. Next game on the docket tomorrow, 7 p.m. back at the Wells Fargo Center. The Sixers take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks team that is fighting for as good a playoff seeding and positioning as possible, right? Last night, they were in action. They took on the Phoenix Suns. They lost, or they won, I'm sorry, 133-123 in Milwaukee. Still no Damian Lillard right now, as he is dealing with the blood clots, the unfortunate situation with him. So hopefully he is healthy as soon as possible and ready to go. It is kind of scary, the uptick in blood clots in all of sports, kind of that we're seeing. But the Bucks with no Damian Lillard coming off a win against the Phoenix Suns. It's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. That is the Sixers' next game. A good opportunity to lose, as the Bucks are playing for something. Sixers are losing for something. Let's get to some scores around the league, teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans. First, the Portland Trailblazers. I know not much interest in the Portland Trailblazers aside from the Sixers and where they sit in the draft lottery. They go and beat the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta. The very Hawks thing to do to lose to the Blazers at this time of the year in Atlanta when they're trying to fight for as good a play and positioning for themselves as well, too. It was Denny Avdija and Shaedon Sharpe who led the way for Portland. 33 for Shaedon, 32, 15 and 10 for Denny Avdija. He had a triple-double, Shaedon Sharpe 33 and 10 himself. They had very good games, 18 points for Tomani Kamara, who's starting to get some looks and some shine from around the league as well. He had a very good game. And on the flip side, the Hawks just didn't get a lot of production. 29 and 15 from Trae Young. He had a good game. Dyson Daniels, 22, 10 rebounds and 3 steals and 2 blocks. Got to give the defensive stats with Dyson Daniels as well. But other than that, not a whole lot of production. 12 points from Big O and Yakubu Okongwu. They got 13 from Vic Krejci off the bench and then 10 from Caris LeVert. Other than that, not a lot of production from the Hawks. They shoot just 21% from three and lose the game 127-113 to the Portland Trailblazers. The San Antonio Spurs were at home but could not stop the Magic from coming in and getting a win. The Magic finding their footing a little bit before the playoffs is what a lot of people wanted to see. 24 apiece from Paolo and Franz. That's what you want to see from your top two. And then KCP, 23 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 steals. I talked about the last time I did a Magic score and what the box score looked like and how they couldn't afford for it to look like that too many times against good teams if they wanted to win in the playoffs. This is a better box score, right? 24 apiece from your stars. You got 24 and 10 from Paolo. You got 23 from one of your best role players in KCP. You get 12 off the bench from Caleb Houston. I think they want to see a little more production from guys like Cole Anthony, who only had 9 points. Maybe Anthony Black, who had 12 off the bench. So a good showing for him, but they do want to see, you know, some other people. I'm sorry, Caleb Houston at the 12. Anthony Black, right? Only had the 4 points off the bench. So they do want to see some good production from some other people. Wendell Carter maybe only had 8 points. So a good win for the Magic, but there's still another level that they can and want to get to come playoff time. And then the Toronto Raptors did themselves a favor. They lost to the Chicago Bulls, who did themselves a favor. Clinched a spot in the play-in tournament, did the Chicago Bulls after, you know, a whirlwind of a season. They go and get a play-in tournament clinching win to the Toronto Raptors, 137-118. It was Kobe White who led the way, 28 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, 22-10 from Nick Vooch as well. They get 27 off the bench from Talen Horton Tucker, of all people, THT, out of nowhere with a splash landing, 27 points, 17-12 from Josh Giddey, 16 from Kevin Huerter in the starting lineup. The Bulls put up 137 in regulation, shoot 41% from 3, 56% from the field. And they win. The Toronto Raptors' highest scoring output, 17 apiece from Emmanuel Quickley and Jacoby Walter, 13 apiece from Orlando Robinson and AJ Lawson off the bench. Other than that, no one else in double figures. They did shoot 44% from 3, 45% from the field. Just didn't get a whole lot of output. Not a lot of shots went up, as they had 12 turnovers in the ball game. So weird that not a lot of shots went up for the Raptors, but they do lose 137-118. I would talk about the Minnesota-Denver game. It has nothing to do with the Sixers, but it just was the best game of the night, maybe the best game of the year. The Wolves beat the Nuggets in double OT, 140-139. Jokic put up a 60-point triple-double, 61-11-10 in the victory. So go look over that game, see those highlights, because it was a tremendous game. I cannot believe the Wolves, off of the back of probably the fight of the year, now come in and play the game of the year and win in Denver. What a 48 hours for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But let's take a look at the full Eastern Conference standings as well as the bottom of the league to see where the Sixers sit and as they go into the final week of the regular season. Still 13th. I may not keep updating in the Eastern Conference standings because the Sixers are eliminated from playoff contention. They have been eliminated since Saturday, so it's not like they can make their way up into the play-in tournament. All they can do is jostle with the Nets and the Raptors for where they are in the at the outside looking in. But all teams have been eliminated. Now it's just who is what seed going into the playoffs for the Western Conference. But 13th in the East. Let's go to the bottom of the league standings where they sit cemented in that fifth spot. Right, two games ahead of the Brooklyn Nets for that fifth spot, which is where they want to be. Losers of nine straight are the Sixers. They have a 42% chance right now to get into the top four of the draft. If they go to that seventh spot while the draft lottery or before the draft lottery commences, we know per Brian Windhorst that we have a 65% chance of losing that pick per the draft lottery going to the Oklahoma City Thunder if it was to fall outside of the top six. But right now, we have cemented ourselves in good standing. We have created a little bit of distance between us and the Brooklyn Nets and the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are five games away from us in that seventh spot. And then we are a game and a half away from the New Orleans Pelicans for that fourth spot in the draft lottery order. So a couple of months ago, we were talking about where we were in playoff standing. Now we're talking about where we are in draft lottery standing. Life comes at you fast, Sixers fans. It really does. Only injury update I really have for you guys is Tyrese Maxey is making his way back or trying to make his way back before the end of the season. Not sure why that was reported yet again coming into yesterday's game. He was seen practicing with that splint. He's been doing on-court work before each game and getting a workout in, which does kind of suggest that he's trying to make his way back before the end of the season with that right hand injury on his shooting finger, I believe on his ring finger, on his shooting hand. Look, they want to bring Tyrese back just to make sure that he's good. Sure, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of benefit to bringing him back in a season like this, but you know, seeing Tyrese Maxey play good basketball is never a bad thing. So hopefully he just comes back healthy and ready to go. If he does, we'll see him play. Kyle Lowry did make his return for the first time in a couple months last night against the Knicks. Did not play a whole lot, but just good to see him get on the court and get some work in. Kyle Lowry last night played 16 minutes. Didn't register a point, two assists, two steals, and a block in the game for Kyle Lowry. So just glad to see him back. No other news down the pipeline, so I'll take a small break on the other side of this break. Let's break down last night's game against the Knicks, right? A 105-91 loss in the Garden, but it did the Sixers a favor. I'll break it down in just a second. Stay tuned.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, y'all. Appreciate you starting your hump day Wednesday with me, your man James Jackson. It's a Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers update. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast. The Sixers did go and get a loss to the New York Knicks last night up in the Mecca. A couple people I know traveled to that game, so glad they got up there and back. Always a good time going to the world's most famous arena, whether you're watching a game, whether you're watching a win, loss, whatever. One of the best ambiances in sports. So never a bad thing to go and watch a basketball game there. But Sixers do lose to the Knicks 105-91. Let's break down that game last night and really, you know, kind of see how it went for the Sixers. First big takeaway last night is I'm not sure who's coaching the defense for the Sixers, right? But it's weird how no matter what lineup is out there, which, by the way, was a record for most lineups in an NBA season the Sixers had. I'm trying to get the exact number, but there's another unique starting lineup for the Sixers last night. And that is a record for how many unique starting lineups there are this season. Their 52nd new starting lineup this season. That is the most in a single season in NBA history, breaking the Grizzlies record in 24 held by the Grizzlies. It doesn't say what their was 51 then, because it's a new 52. So 51 from the 2023-2024 Grizzlies. So Sixers in their 52nd lineup still were able to turn the Knicks over. I know no Jalen Brunson, so their point guard wasn't there. Makes it a little bit tougher. Still forced the Knicks into, what, 19 turnovers, leading to just 22 points off those turnovers. But still, 19 turnovers less. I know it was turning the Knicks over 20 times. So it's clear that no matter who is out on the floor, there is a defensive strategy that goes on from the Sixers, from Nick Nurse, from whoever is kind of captaining that ship. And that's why I do, even though in this season, want to continue to try to give praise and props to Nick Nurse, who all of a sudden seemed to get put on a hot seat a little bit when Taylor Jenkins got let go from the Grizzlies. I get it, but at the same time, I don't. Because I don't think you can blame this coaching staff for what has gone on this season, especially when you look at stuff like this, right? Like, they're still coaching, clearly. There's something still in there, still working. They have guys out there still working on the defensive end. 19 turnovers is nothing to scoff at, no matter who they're playing, no matter what's going on, right? So it didn't really keep them in the ball game that much. I'll talk about my second takeaway in just a second, but that stood out to me. And you could, during the game, you could see, like, they're causing a lot of turnovers. They're not capitalizing on all of them, but they're causing a lot of turnovers. So the turnovers being up, my first big takeaway. Second big takeaway was that second quarter, which, you know, the Knicks were kind of in command of that game already, but that second quarter really broke it open and blew it open for the Knicks. The Sixers scored just 16 points in that second quarter, and then they go down big by 15 going into half, right? A 59-42 deficit going into halftime. It's really all the Knicks needed. Sixers did battle back in the third quarter a little bit. Won the third quarter, scored 28 points coming out of halftime, which is not something we're used to seeing from the Sixers. But that second quarter dug them too much of a hole to really get out of it. And that's when you're playing a team like this, a roster and a lineup that the Sixers have, one big run from the other team is really just the punch you need to kind of put you down on the canvas for the game. It sucks. You know, I wish it wasn't that, but a team, especially like the Knicks, even without their two best players, no, I got to give this team one solid haymaker, and that's probably enough to give them a very least like a standing eight and have them on their heels too much to win the game. That was that second quarter. You give the Sixers a whole lot of credit for trying to fight for the people out there, the players out there going against, you know, still one of the Eastern Conference's best teams. But they were just stymied a little bit in that second frame. And, you know, the Knicks were able to kind of run away with it after that. Like I said, did their best job to battle back in the third, but they had already dug themselves too much of a hole in that second quarter to really get back and make this a game after that. So that second quarter is really what bit the Sixers in the butt last night. And then speaking of that second quarter of that first half, my final takeaway is with no Jalen Brunson and no Karl Anthony Towns, you're sitting there wondering who's really going to score for the Knicks. I don't know if they've been in this situation too many times this season with taking nearly 50 points a night off the board with Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. And the answer was the combination of OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, and DeLon Wright, who not only had it going the entire night for the Knicks, but those three themselves matched the Sixers' whole first half total of 42 points, right? OG or Mitchell Robinson and DeLon Wright, of all people, had 42 points themselves going into halftime, which when three people equal an entire team's output, you pretty much know how the game is going and how the game is going to go in the third quarter. OG Anunoby, you kind of expect with no Jalen Brunson, no Karl Anthony Towns. Mitchell Robinson, that's probably one of his better showings since returning from injury. And DeLon Wright, if you're looking at how the Knicks are going to kind of supplement stuff, especially if Jalen Brunson isn't 100% or isn't ready to go by playoff time, you got to look at who's going to supplement the scoring, who's going to step up, especially off the bench. I think DeLon Wright started last night even, but even still, there are probably going to be times he did start. There's going to be times where, you know, DeLon Wright is going to have to maybe come off the bench and give the Knicks some scoring. They don't want to look like this going into playoffs, but if they can get some good production from DeLon Wright, from Mitchell Robinson, and help out all of their starters and, you know, get good depth that way, that's what the Knicks are looking for. So those are my three takeaways from last night. The turnover total is still very high for the Sixers. That second quarter was too much, dug themselves too much of a hole to get back into the ball game, and then the combination of OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, and DeLon Wright really being too much for the Sixers to handle just themselves. So the Sixers get a good loss for the cause last night to the Knicks, 105-91. They will return home tomorrow night to play the Milwaukee Bucks in the Wells Fargo Center. I will be there tomorrow night. I'll also be back here tomorrow morning to preview that game. But until then, I will talk to everybody in 24 hours.